You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians, talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. I hope you've been having a glorious week. I most certainly have been. I'm even more stoked because today, December 17th, is the day of Heavy Montreal Presents Vox and Hops Brutal Montreal. That's right, the first edition of a true metal and beer festival is happening tonight in my hometown of Montreal at Corona Theater. Performing tonight, we have my band Cryptopsy alongside my friends in The Agonist, The Great Sabatini, Necrotic Mutation, and Burning the Oppressor. All night long, you'll be able to enjoy amazing beers from some of Quebec's best microbreweries, such as BG, Brasserie Urbaine, Missorum Brassatorium, Brasserie du Bas-Canada, Sir John Brewing Company, Cinquième Baron, and Brassard de Montréal. I just can't wait to stand on that stage tonight. Look out at a crowd of amazing metalheads in my hometown enjoying life, metal, and craft beer. I am so, so excited. Before we jump into today's episode, I'd just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I'm also asking you to tell a friend about the podcast. If there's someone in your life that you would love to attend Brutal Montreal with, let them know that the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast exists. You can tell them that there are over 300 episodes with some of the world's best metal musicians for them to discover on their favorite podcast platform. If you would encourage one of your friends to become a brand new Vox and Hops head, that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, today's episode is a special one. It's sort of become an annual tradition. It's the third year in a row where I sit down with my bassist, Ali Pinard, the bassist of Cryptopsy. He also plays for Cattle Decapitation, Acurion, and Vengeful. Get ready, everyone. This is our Top 10 Metal Albums of 2021 episode. This is Vox and Hops episode number 315.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I'm back with my bassist, my brother, my friend, Ali Pinard of Cryptopsy, of course, of Cattle Decapitation, of Vengeful, of Acurion, of many, many, many projects, because he's a guy that just likes to play bass with everyone, because he's so cool and fun. This is the third year in a row that we do this. This is the top 10 collab episode, our top 10s that we're gonna attack and showcase to each other because of the pandemic. We sadly have not even, I don't think we've hung out the whole goddamn year.
Nope. Not at all.
First off, how are you? Let's start with that.
I'm good. It's been a fucking crazy year, but no, I'm fine. I'm stoked to start touring again next year, and I'm looking forward.
You'll be back to where you are meant to be. But something cool did happen this year. That's you ended up working at the coolest microbrewery here in Montreal, Missorum Brassatorium. Let's talk a little bit about that. Talk to me about working at one of the coolest breweries. Are you still excited when they release really cool beers, or are you just bored of it now?
No. It's super exciting, actually. And it's cool because I'm working with my friend, with Alex, Seb, Vince. For people who don't know them, it's Alex from Despise Icon, Seb from Iron Dissonance, and the brewer is Vince from The Last Felony.
Hell yeah.
So we are the metal crew. It's pretty badass. And yeah, number one brewer in Canada. It's pretty fucking badass.
It's pretty fucking badass. Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their lives, music, and craft beer. Before we jump into our top 10s, let's hear what you're drinking. It looks delicious. So what do you got on your side there tonight?
Hold on, I don't even remember what it is.
He's getting up. He's walking over. He's digging through his trash can.
It's a PBR, motherfucker. You know, we have trash. No, it's the Overhop Sour Juicy IPA. It's called the Cripster.
Absolutely. It's a collab with Mason's Brewing. It is full of like pureed fruit, if I'm crazy.
Yeah, pureed fruit and lactose as well. It's interesting. I'm usually not a sour. I don't really drink sour beer. pretty fucking good.
It's really juicy. It's actually one of the first beers that I had from Overhop when I met them for the first time at Chambly many, many years ago, probably 2-3 years ago. On my side, I'm going to be drinking an old familiar beer of ours that I just luckily happened to get my hands on again today, actually. So I'm very happy about that. Ooh. Shout out to Sherry for being my mule and bringing me this amazing beer. This is Crisp Top Seas Pilsner Supremacy, 4.8%. New World Pilsner. It's been double dry hopped with Mosaic hops. Matt, shout out to Drew for keeping this beer alive. I'm going to pour this out, and let's just jump straight into it. Number 10, what is your number 10 album of 2021?
Number 10, it's pretty hard, but okay. I'll go with, it's a band called Arakiri for the Sky. The album is called Maher. I'm not sure if I pronounce it right. Mm-hmm. Maher. It's all, for those who don't know, this band is like a post-black metal, hardcore-ish kind of. It's like a black metal version of Gojira, basically. It's super melodic, super, there's a lot of feeling and emotion in their song. So that's probably why I'm hooked to it. It's pretty good. It's not just like blast beat and like guitar, like whatever. There's a lot of feeling and atmosphere. So, yep. Arakiri for the Sky.
I had the vocalist on the podcast, and it was actually the day after that his album came out, and he was still partying.
No way.
I swear. And he was like sitting on the floor in a bathroom because he was in some person's apartment or something. It was a good conversation, but he was a bit inebriated.
What? Really?
For those that haven't listened to that episode, you can go back and check it out. I do like that album. Lots of post-rock vibes.
Post-rock,
a soundtrack,
yeah.
Almost approach to writing music. Always a concept and slightly depressing, but super fun nonetheless.
Yeah, slightly depressing.
My number 10 is completely in a different area than yours, much less depressing, hardly even metal. I'm just going to preface my entire list this year. We sort of touched on it before we started recording. I have chosen 10 albums based on the albums that I listen to the most.
It's so, like the same.
Excellent. Because 2021 was a massive year for album releases. There was a lot of amazing metal that came out, a lot of amazing albums that came out. I've included albums that are not extreme metal, but they definitely have some vibes of metal. And I'm okay with my decision. So number 10, with that being said, is Andrew WK's God is Partying. I love it. It came out in September via Napalm Records. I can't get enough of this album. And I wasn't a fan before. But
Andrew WK? Like in general?
No, I never really got into any of the other stuff. But this album, God is Partying, I don't know why. The riffs are amazing. The songwriting is out of this world. It's just so goddamn catchy. His vocals mm-hmm. are really damn good. I didn't know he was such a like proficient singer. They're heavy. There's moments that remind me of like Devin Townsend. There's other moments that remind me of just good party rock. And then there's other moments that it's like a musical, but not cheesy, but catchy. And there's a song about him ejaculating, which is also interesting. So God is Partying. Andrew WK. That was my number 10, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I heard one song from that album. I should check it out.
It's I don't know. There's something about it. It's made the list for some reason.
Party music or something?
It's party music, but there's also some feelings to it, too. Crisp Top C pours out just as gorgeous as before. The previous times I've had it, that Mosaic hops really resonates. It always brings out like a melony, like a floral place on the Pilsner. It's just gorgeous. Number 9, Ali, give it to us.
Oh my God, 9. All right. So this one's going to please the death metal fans because number 9 is Aeon. With the album God Hands Here, it's finally they're back, finally after almost 7 years, I think, or so. It's been a while since they released an album. So I've always been a fan of Aeon, like super straightforward death metal. It's pretty fucking intense, like blast beat. If you love blast beat, you're gonna love this album. Like for fans of, I will say, if you love like Eight Eternal, Vitriol, stuff like that, like Relentless death metal, check it out.
So it hit the spot. It's exactly what you expected from them, but that made you that was a happy moment.
Oh, it was exactly what I wanted from them. It's perfect. I'm not disappointed at all. It's maybe more. They gave me more than I wanted, actually, because it's really fucking good. Like, I would say I love it better than the previous two, which I really liked. So, yeah. Good. And here, check it out.
Love it. Number nine, my number nine, is a band that I love. I'm not surprised to see it on this list. If anyone knows me, they will not be surprised. Amun-Ra, Dur Dúrin, June 25th, it dropped via Relapse Records. Huge Amun-Ra fan I have been since we toured together.
Yep.
We were doing a summer festival tour, and out of all the people to show me a band that I actually really fell in love with was Eric Sanchez, who was out on tour with us as a photographer, as a tour manager, mostly a tour manager, mostly a tour mother that would take care of us because he likes to do that. And he knows that I love post-metal, so he introduced me to Amun-Ra. Dur Dúrin is at number nine because I feel like it's a very slow record. If it was a bit more intense, it would probably find itself higher up on my list. But the same vibe is there. They're a lot more melodic than they used to be. But it's an experience. And a lot of these albums that are on my list are an experience. I love listening to albums. I don't listen to singles. I don't like that. It's something that takes you on a journey. It's very dark and depressing. But when that hits and it's heavy as goddamn all hell, I absolutely love it. And I feel like the album sort of peters out. And it's missing like a big wrap up at the end to really pull it all together. For myself, I would have liked like one big last heavy song or something. But nonetheless, it's an enjoyable experience. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah. Also, they did a song for a wrestler this year. So I'm super hyped for that.
Who's that? I didn't even hear that.
They did a song for people who know WWE. The wrestler's name is Aleister Black.
No, boy. Yeah.
A boy, Aleister Black. So Amun-Ra did his new entrance team, and it's so fucking dark. It's really? Perfect. It's really dark, and the guy is like super black metal. Mm-hmm. Like the look is perfect. So shout out to Amun-Ra for that. It's pretty cool. I think it's a good, cool gig. It's a cool gig. Yeah.
Totally gonna check that out after because I love what they do.
I'll send you the song.
Go for it. Number eight. Where are you at?
Number eight, I'll go with the White Chapel.
See, this is a surprise for me. When I saw it on your list, I was like, really? Okay.
Yep. Have you heard it?
I listened to the whole thing, yes, because I was curious to see where they were going to take it. So you have your opinion on it, and I'll throw mine in the hat.
Because it's 50-50. Like, it's really brutal, and at the same time, it's very smooth and mellow. But the brutal part are really intense, like in more than the previous album. It's more, there's more blast beat. There's more, it's fast. It's fast music instead of just being like just heaviness, heavy blast beat. And the riff are crazy. The atmosphere, it's really nice. And on the other side, when it's clean and it's mellow, it's, in my opinion, it's fucking perfect. It's, they finally reach, I think, their goal, like when they started with the clean vocals a couple of years ago. Now they really reached what they tried to do, I think, and they nailed it because the songs are so catchy and well written. It's I wasn't sure at first because I was like, because I don't know, I love the first era of Whitechapel, but now I will say they are ready for the next level. Like maybe they can. Because let's be honest, he's a great singer.
Like, absolutely.
Phil Boozman is a great singer, and he might be not the next Corey Taylor, but he could.
He could like branch off and have like a solo thing where.
Yeah, totally. They could like write more catchy song or radio friendly song. And in my opinion, in my honest opinion, I think it would work because they're really good. Of course, it's really like, I feel it's more like, they could play like a big festival, like a main stage festival or a big arena show that would work with their new style. So good for them. I love that.
I agree with lots of those points. For myself, I felt like it was very ordinary. I was especially the heavy parts. I felt it wasn't extreme enough for me. I like, you know, and it's funny, there's not many massively extreme bands on my list, but I enjoyed the soft parts, but when it got heavy,
extreme, but for what they do now, it's extreme.
The contrast of it. But I feel like they'd have found a sweet spot of it is one band that is doing both versus mm-hmm. we've spoken about this before in the past that it's like a light switch and it's like band A. Mm-hmm. Oh, and here's band B, the heavy one. Mm-hmm. Oh, and back to band A, the clean vocal section. And I agree with that, that Whitechapel sort of has found this sweet spot.
Sweet spot, the transition between both bars.
But the heaviness should have been heavier for me. But I do love his voice. He's amazing. And him going solo on his own, or them branching out even to open for, you know, like who they can open for Slipknot for sure now.
Yeah,
they
no,
probably
sure.
could have before too, but.
Firefinger Punch.
maybe. My number 8 is cheesy as hell, and I'm very proud of it. Love them. I put it on to clean my house, and it works. My house gets clean. The Night Flight Orchestra, Aromatic 2, came out September 3rd, Nuclear Blast Records. Not my favorite record from them, but I listened to it a lot, and I really enjoyed it. There's this song called White Jeans. It's near the end of the record. It is goddamn catchy. And I listened to it a goddamn whole bunch to get my house clean. Last year's record that got my house clean was Unleash the Archers. This year it was usurped by the Night Flight Orchestra on September 3rd once that came out. And Bjorn, you know, Bjorn's voice is so damn good. The fact that they can still write all these 80s sounding hits and yet mm-hmm. it's still somewhat a tad original. It's not the most original thing in the world, but it's extremely enjoyable and very, very well done.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I haven't heard the new one. I heard the one before. Mm-hmm. It was so great, but yeah, I had to check it out. Night Flight. That's the Swedish band, right?
Yeah, it's like the super group of all the Swedes there with the singer Soilwork, Arch Enemy members, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sick.
Running along to number 7.
Number 7. Okay, I'll go. This one is brand new. It's fresh. It just came out. Obscura.
Mm-hmm.
Obscura with the Avalidation. I had no expectation for it, but it was like, it's perfect. It reminds me, it brings me back to when I first discovered them in 2009, because they brought back Christian on guitar and Jaron Paul on the bass, which is the ultimate bass player for Tech Death, in my opinion, him and Forrest for sure. But so I was just so happy to hear him playing again with Obscura. So just for that, for me as a bass player, you need to be on my list. It's really fun. I had the smile like on my face the whole time listening to the albums. It's just perfect. I love it a lot. I'm looking forward for the show in Montreal.
Hell yes.
If I'm in town. But
absolutely. I'll be there with you if you are. I did not give this record enough listens, to be honest. I embarked on it. I think it came out on a massive day where there was a bunch of other releases.
Yeah. Actually, I heard the album like a couple of weeks later. Mm-hmm. I was a bit late, but no, still a good price. I love blasting. I was blasting that album in the kitchen while I was working. It's a good day. It's good music for a rush, you know.
And I'm happy that Stefan could replace basically his whole lineup again and then pull out another success like this. That is commendable. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, totally.
I love that. Next record is a bit of a weird one, but I really, really enjoy it. It's electronic, like EDM, but with a blasphemous rock and roll attitude. The band is called Thief. It's basically one dude named Dylan Neal. And the album's called The 16 Deaths of My Master. It came out on August 27th by Prophecy Productions. I was lucky enough to have Dylan on the podcast, so I asked him a bunch of questions about this. I think it's just so cool. It's like very, very disturbing. Yet it's sort of catchy at the same time, like dancey catchy. But mm-hmm. he's saying the most blasphemous things about satanic stuff and drug addiction and very dark lyrical content and still crazy earworms stuck in your head hooks. I love it. I think it's really cool. All the weird sounds that he uses. He basically goes into like record shops and finds these like religious and like strange occult records, and then he brings them home and then he samples them and finds like a beat that he could loop, and then he works upon those. Very cool.
Crazy.
Thief.
Crazy.
The 16 Deaths of My Master is my number 7. I liked his previous record very much too. So Dylan used to be in a band called Botanist, which is another weird experimental sort of metal band, electronic metal band, also from California, I believe they're from. Love it.
Nice. I'll check it out for sure, man.
Number 6, hammering through this tonight. I love it.
Number 6. Okay, number 6, I'll go with my boys from Rivers of Nihil, which I know a lot of people won't agree because it's different. It's very different, but that's what I like. That's what I like about that band. They're not scared to try stuff.
It's crazy how much they've evolved since that tour that we did at Devastation of the Nation 2017. That band to this band is different.
Yep, totally. You remember Biggs telling us like, oh, I don't know if I want a sax on our next album because I don't want us to be recognized as the saxophone band, you know? But I'm very glad they did. But not a lot. It's not like...
They're not overusing it.
Overusing the saxophone. And they use a lot of new vocals, which I like, a lot more clean, but it's not pretty clean vocals. It's more, I don't know, there's something in the voice. I don't find a word to describe it, but because Adam, the bass player, he sings a lot more on this one.
So that's a whole new voice coming in because a lot of the cleans before were Jared, the drummer.
Yes, but he still sings, but Biggs now, he sings way more, and I think it's really, really cool. And I love the concept. I love a conceptual album. It's my thing. I really love it. It's very well written. I love the concept of how the pacing of the songs. It's one big journey. Mm-hmm. And I really love that.
I do really agree that the pacing of the album really works super well. There's another album on my list that's pretty up near the top of it, and I love it. But the pacing on that album versus the pacing on the work is really not up to par. I feel like it is a huge left turn for the band. It's an evolution of where they were, where Owls Know My Name.
They're not a death metal band anymore.
But that's another, like, who can they play with now? They've opened up so many doors. I can see Rivers on tour with Mastodon now.
That would work. That would be crazy. Mastodon or Intronaut.
Yeah.
Cold Luna.
Yeah. The sky's the limit. It's very interesting. But they can still bring it and come on tour with Cryptopsy again.
Yeah, they can play old stuff and that will work. But as again, it's an album that I would just shut down the light and lay down on the couch and listen. It's an experience. It's almost like watching a movie. Mm-hmm. It's not a mosh pit material.
No.
So if people expect like a technical death metal album like they used to do in the past, of course they will be disappointed. But it's pretty obvious to me that since the last album, they are trying something new. And they're trying to find their own identity, their own sound, which I think they did because they are very recognizable now. So good for them.
And that's hard to do in this modern era of extreme metal. So very commendable on that.
So that's why I decided I was on my list.
Love it. Number 6 for me is a late addition. It really came onto my list thanks to me doing my Thirsty Thursday live interview where I had all of my album review crew give me their top 10s, which I just released last week. I did not know about this band. When Wooderson talked about it during my episode, I was like, that sounds super interesting. I checked it out. The band is called The Silver. The name of the album is called Ward of Roses. It came out October 15th via Gilead Media. It is a very strange album. It sounds very natural. It sounds like they recorded it live. It feels like that. There's a lot of it's a basically a super group. There's dudes from Horrendous in it and another band. I meant to write that down. I forgot. There's weird black metal screeching vocals, which I typically don't enjoy. Vocals
like
that,
super high pitch.
That, but also like as if he's not in control of it. So it's like,
Yeah, it's almost like a Bethlehem or a Shining. Mm-hmm.
And then there's like another member of the band, the guitarist, I believe, that sings clean vocals in it. It's an album that takes you on a journey. It's weird. It's got like a weird hypnotic vibe to it. It's a very strange record, and I just keep going back and listening to it again. And when it finishes, I'm like, oh, it's over. And it's still 40 minutes long. You know, it's not like it's one of those 25 minute. It's called the band is called The Silver. The name of the record is called Ward of Roses. It's definitely worth some attention. It's heavy, but it's not heavy in the sense of a huge chug. It's more of like a droney, sludgy black metal album. It's very all over the place. They have picked and choosed what they like to include into their little soup, and then they made an album.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
We are halfway there. We are approaching the number fives. Go for it. Where are you at? Number five this year.
Number five, I'll go with their most anticipated prog metal album of the year, Liquid Tension Experiment. Mm. Finally, they're back. I'm super excited. I'm a big Dream Theater fan, but I'm also a big Liquid Tension Experiment fan. And not only that, but I'm super happy to see Mike Portnoy and John Petrucci together again, like creating this monster of an album. It's a double album. It's almost like a, I think it's like 90 minutes or no, maybe more. It's almost 2 hours of music.
Wow.
It's insane. It's just insane. On top of that, they brought they used the 7-string guitars for the first time on that project. So there's more heavy parts because in the past it was just like only prog, no chug. But on this one, there's some chuggy part, which is cool because in the middle of like some crazy keyboard solo and guitar solo, it's fun to have a cool, not breakdown, but just a good groove. And yeah, and also my highlight on this album is the song Rhapsody in Blue, which is not a jazz standard, but it's, yeah, I think it is. It's a jazz standard, but they play it in their own way.
That's super
and
cool.
It's amazing because it's from New York. The Rhapsody in Blue, it's a typical New York jazz song. Mm-hmm. Liquid Tension, all the guys are from New York. So it's a good tribute to their hometown, basically. And I think it's really cool. If you haven't heard that, I highly recommend that track. The Rhapsody in Blue is very cool. Yeah. And also Tony Levin play on that album. He's still in the band. And how old he is, like 75 years old. Insane. He still play. The guy played with everyone. He's like the ultimate legend in prog. He played with Pink Floyd, King Crimson. That's amazing. Yep. So that's my number five.
So that's an album I did not listen to enough as well. And I do enjoy their previous work. So I will go and check that out. I'm excited for that already.
Check that song. It's a lot of music. So if you're not really into prog, it's awesome. I remember the first time when the album came out, I was like, wow, it's a lot of material to digest at the same time. And also, just a note on the side, this year, John Petrucci released his solo album, the Liquid Tension album, and the New Dream Theater. What the fuck is wrong with that guy? He wrote all those songs during the pandemic. It's insane.
Somebody used their time wisely during a pandemic.
Yeah. But actually, yeah, that's what he did. He mentioned it in an interview. He used the pandemic to write music. So that's amazing. Like, and this guy is just like a creative genius. Like a solo album, a double album with Liquid, and a New Dream Theater. Come on. Someone should, like, hopefully some scientific, they should check inside his brain, like, try to understand what's going on, because he's out of this world. Come on. I would love to be.
My number five is something that surprised me. I was excited for it. I enjoyed their previous work. We played with them. Archspire, Bleed the Future, Seasons of Mist, October 29th. It's fucking fast, right? So
it's insane.
And it's technical. And Ollie's delivery is incredible. But mm-hmm. I feel like the songs have a soul and an entity. And I feel like the band as a whole has really matured. And I don't know how much that has to do with them just actually maturing and looking at music and writing music differently, or as much as it has to do with working with Dave Otero so closely and living in the studio as you have done. I don't know what all the elements are.
All of this.
Yeah. I think the album is incredible. I think that the songs really have a feeling, a vibe. They're technical, but they're alive. It's not computer generated. It has a soul, and I really, really found myself really into it, and I still listen to it, and that's why they're in my number five position.
But they really worked hard as a band. They toured a lot, and like you said, it's not robotic. It's even though it sounds robotic at some point, but it's not. It's not because it's raw. It's organic. They play together all the time. Mm-hmm. They are a real band, and I really respect that a lot. And I love them. Like, I love the guys. I love the band. I love the music. So I agree with you. So good pick.
I love it. Number four, Ollie, give it to us.
Follow you with Archfire. I'll go with Tech Debt. First Fragment. First Fragment, we just put out like a neoclassical Tech Debt masterpiece, which is, have you heard the album? It's just... Mm-hmm. Every instrument shine. It's beautiful. The guitars, the bass is just out of control for us. I just gave people like a good master class. So it's always Phil Tuga and Nick on the guitars. The drum is like relentless. It's just fast. It's groovy. It's actually really groovy. It's almost cheesy. It's groovy, technical, but classical at the same time. It's very like neoclassical. Like
I would give a shout out to our guitarist for being a patient producer, putting together this record, because it is a master class and a master recording session, recording bands such as First Fragment. There's a lot of notes, and it has to be perfect, and the mix has to be perfect, and the band wants it a certain way, and this record sounds amazing.
Totally, man. It's a big, I can't imagine having a contract like to do an album like that, and like, oh shit, it's going to take a while.
But Chris nailed it as he does. And as you mentioned,
the final product is amazing. So. Yeah, good job, everyone.
I love it. Number four for me is something that I'm not surprised is on the list, because she's a sorceress, and every time she puts anything out, I just become completely obsessed with it. Number four is Converge with Chelsea Wolfe and Stephen Brodsky, Blood Moon. Number one, Blood Moon 1 came out November 19th, very young record, Epitaph dropped that. It's a weird record. Not being a huge fan of Converge, I tried. I never really got into them. I could probably try again, and maybe I'd have more success nowadays. But Chelsea Wolf, obsessed with her, have been for many, many, many years. Since we toured with Guar is when I discovered her, and we were riding in that van across Canada. And we had a wild party night one night, and we were like, what are we going to listen to? And I was like, put on this record.
Was it the night in Regina?
Yes.
At the tattoo shop?
Yeah. No, it was in the hotel room. And I put on Chelsea Wolf, and you were like, what the fuck, man? You're ruining the entire vibe of this night. But I've loved her ever since then. This record is really cool to watch both of them sort of like negotiate and find their own space between the two styles. Converge being so aggressive, Chelsea Wolf really having like an ethereal sorceress vibe. I love it. I think it's really messed up. I think that the two going together is really cool. There's some heavy moments. There's some really melodic moments. It's cool to see Converge doing a lot more softer stuff on this and her going a bit harder. Really, really good. I think it's something that I will keep listening to throughout the next year. I think it's cool. And I hope that with the Blood Moon number one means that there will be more.
Awesome, man.
Top three.
Okay. So top three, it's by far the three album I listen to, the newest album from here that I listen to the most. So my number three is Hypocrisy with Worship. I'm a super big fan of Hypocrisy since like 2003 or 4, something like that. And I'm so glad this album is like, it brings me back to when I was a teenager. And I was going to show that the medley and they brought back the old school sound, the Swedish guitar, the classic Swedish guitar sound with the harmony and stuff. And it's also very mid-tempo kind of death metal, but there's still some blast beat, like you can feel it like in your heart. It's really, it's perfect. It just, this album bring me a lot of like nostalgia moment. So that's probably why it's on my top three. I was very pleased a lot. Like most of the Hypocrisy fans, like all the review I read were perfect. So I'm not crazy.
My number three took me, I was surprised how much I like this record. I interviewed Adam D in the summer right after this came out. Like the weekend that it came out, and I listened to a few singles. I thought it was cool, but then as I kept listening to it, as I kept getting engulfed into the record, I would like find myself like humming the songs, the melodies. I'm talking about Times of Grace, Songs of Loss and Separation. I believe it's like self-released, came out June 11th. It's just so damn good. There's just something, the Jesse Leach's vocals on it are fucking incredible. Just so fucking good. And I listened to it so much, and my wife Jess, she was like, what is this? Because I just keep listening to it, and I was like, it's brand new, it's this new thing from the dudes from Killswitch. And she was like, dude, I thought it came from like the early 2000s. It has like this nostalgic vibe to it.
Really,
the songs are incredible. The clean vocals are amazing, the harsh vocals are catchy. The whole album just, it's a long album, but it flows super well, and it finishes, and it's like, oh, let's start it again. Number three for that reason. Really, really enjoyed it, and I almost forgot it, and I'm happy that I didn't.
I had to check it out because I've been listening to a lot of Killswitch.
It's definitely more mellow than Killswitch, and it has a lot more rock tendencies, but it's, and there's a lot of like dreamy post-rock elements in it, but there's definitely still some heavy chug pinch harmonics, obviously, but not as many as with Killswitch Engage. Top two.
Yeah, number two, it's my rock and roll, not rock and roll band, but it's my big arena metal band. Gojira with Fortitude. It's, for me, it's an arena metal band because their songs are meant to be played for a big crowd. You know, they're not a underground band anymore. They are the next big thing, and that's for sure. And it's funny you mentioned earlier, like, oh, I love this album because I do all my cleaning listening to it. But that's the same with Gojira. I can blast this album and clean my entire apartment and I will love it. Like, I don't want to be finished. I want to do it again.
Let's make a mess. But
spaghetti sauce again. Oh my God.
I agree that the next level, they're definitely writing songs not for tiny venues anymore. They're writing songs to have entire arenas singing with them, and the soundscapes that they're creating are meant to be played in huge, massive places.
Yes, yes, and they deserve
that's not easy. That's not easy to write in that aspect too, while remaining extreme and having their own identity.
Exactly, and keeping their sound and their integrity at the same time. Mm-hmm. It still, if you close your eyes and you listen to it, it still sounds like Gojira. Mm-hmm. So it's very cool. It's like the I was about to say the pop version of Gojira, but it's not pop, but it's more catchy, like the song The Chant.
Yeah,
it's very like the first time I heard that, like I'm not sure.
Same.
But the more I listen to it, I'm like, okay, I can see like a big crowd singing along. I'm like, okay. They're wise. They're very wise.
It must be very tedious and difficult to write music like that in a group. They must argue a lot to get to where they're at now. I know it's not easy for us, so I can only imagine them. But when you're leading towards a more commercial sound. Here's my next number two is a band that would fit perfectly on tour with Gojira. I love this album, obsessed with it. I have been. It came out March 19th. I loved it immediately. Came out on Metal Blade Records. I'm talking about Dune, Edamon Aienka. Just a fantastic concept record. They are like the bastard child of Gojira, Opeth, Mastodon. There's some post-metal elements in it as well. It is a long album, and this is the album I was talking about before that. I don't feel like that it continues very well. The continuity of it doesn't flow as well as the album we were speaking about previously. I feel like the interludes are a tad too quiet, and then if you're not familiar with the record and you don't know that it runs for an hour and a bit, you'll think it's over and you might skip it if you don't know that, and that's the only reason why it's not number one. But what a trip. Great, great musicianship. The vocals are catchy as all hell. It's a vibe. It's a trance. It takes you somewhere. It's a trip. I'm excited to see where they go next because they wrote this record so long ago after I spoke to Dan on the podcast. They had this in the bag before the pandemic, so I'm excited to see where they go with this record, and I'm excited to see where they go on the next one. Dune, Edamon Aienka.
Dune. I have to check it out, man.
It's a banger. We are at our number ones, but before we jump into our number ones, I want to hear some honorable mentions, just very quickly. Some albums that didn't make the top 10 that you also enjoyed very much. Let's keep it short. Keep it to one or two or three.
All right. So At the Gates. At the Gates, just because it's At the Gates. I love them. I love the sound. And you're never disappointed. When At the Gates release a new album, you just press play and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Exactly what I wanted. So, but it's not on my list because I haven't listened to it like enough. I think I gave the album like two or three listens, but I love it a lot. Otherwise, there's another band that Alex Trem from a former Naraxis singer introduced me to. It's called Ophidian High.
Also produced by Christian Donaldson.
Oh, it is. Dude, this shit is technical as fuck, eh? Wow. It's stupid. It's borderline too much, but I love it. I really love it. Also, Chemist with the album Deceiver. Very good. Very, very good.
Another Dave Otero gem.
Yeah. From Denver, Colorado. Also, I would say... The Tea Party, their EP.
Yeah.
Their EP is Sunshower. I love it. It's cool. It's smooth. It's good rock and roll. And this album, it should have made the list. It should have been number one. it's not, but it's Iron Maiden, St. Jude.
I know, I was so surprised.
Yeah, it should have been on the list, but the thing is, not that I was disappointed, but it's not strong enough. It's not strong enough. Actually, I think it's my least favorite Iron Maiden album since Brave New World in 2000. So I was like, all right. But still, I jammed this album a lot. But it is what it is. But don't get me wrong, I'm still number one fan.
I just cracked a new beer. This is one of my brand new collabs. Yes, Mutoid with Le Fermentau, Ale of the Fathers. It's a four-way collab, Vox and Hops, Mutoid, Le Fermentau, GMPQ Media. This is the old ale. I dropped four of them at once, all in different varieties of it. This is the Cabernet Sauvignon aged. It's awesome. Look at that little foam head going there. I love it. Wow. I'm going to pour this out, and then I'll tell you my honorable mentions. What do you got there? Oh, yes. You're on an overhop night.
I'm on it.
This is really cool. You can smell like each of them had their own personality. I did like the classic old ale, the dry hopped, the Cabernet Sauvignon, and the bourbon. This one really has like a winey feel to it on the nose. It's definitely more like tiny berries versus some of the other ones had a more like apple-ish caramel, a bourbon, obviously. Really killer. Shout out to all the people involved in making this amazing brew. So some of the most metal brewers in Quebec.
Mutoid, it's my neighborhood, man. I live like 10 minutes away from Mutoid. That's the first thing I did when I moved back to Hochelaga. I went to Mutoid.
My honorable mentions, so surprised that I like this as much as I did. Humanity's Last Breath. Just so damn good. There's dudes from Vigil de Harta, or however you say that band name. No disrespect. Love the weird, slow, Meshuggah-esque, strange bends, time signature breakdowns. Love it. Gets me every single time. I can't get enough of it. What else really got me this year? The new Aborted. I feel like they had a continuation of what they had built before.
Totally forgot about them.
On a Retrogore. Was Retrogore the previous one, right?
No, that Terrorvision.
Terrorvision. That was an excellent continuity.
Didn't tour enough with them?
Of Terrorvision. I liked it, Mania Cult. I liked the whole thing that they did on social media. It was really smart. Velvedinia as well. They probably won the internet. Won the internet with the whole Bob thing. Very, very smart what Duncan did there. I thought that was very, very, very cool. I also really liked a band from the UK called Vexed, female-fronted extreme metal band. She sings, she screams. Very good. Really, really enjoyed that very much. She's extremely proficient vocally. I think she's super exciting. So definitely going to keep my eye on her. Another new metal resurgence that I really, really enjoyed, Tetrarch. You were on the album, I heard. You did some guest vocals, did you not?
Yes, I did. Actually, it was a gang vocal. So difference was me and Travis and Josh from Cattle Decap and Ross.
I love
RTM.
It. Yeah,
we had the day off in Denver, and we were supposed to meet up with Dave for dinner, and so we went at his place. He was still working. He was working on that album actually, and then he came to us and said, "Hey, before we go, can you guys come and do like a little gang vocals for Tetrarch?" We were like, "Ooh, yeah." We never heard of them, but we did. It was fun. It was actually really fun. And since then, I realized Tetrarch on social media, man.
Oh yeah, man!
They just exploded. It's crazy. They reached like a million views on their video in like what, 5 days or something. It's crazy. Good for them.
I'm interested in this whole new metal resurgence. Speaking about that, a classic new metal band dropped a new album on Halloween, and I can't knock it. It's fucking good. Limp Bizkit still sucks. The first three songs are fucking amazing.
It's amazing. It reminds me of the old school Bizkit that we all liked. Yeah. The first riff, the opener is like,
it's amazing.
And then you start the album by yelling, dee, DJ Leo. Like, are you kidding me? It's perfect.
I have to say it. I had to say it, but
because I do love it. I listen to it a lot. I was blasting that album at the job. It's like, I'm proud to say I love this.
Number ones. Take us to your number one, Ollie.
It's not Limp Bizkit. It's the total opposite. Swallow the Sun. Moonflowers. Boom. Here we go. This album is beautiful. It's dark. It's there's a lot of melancholy, but not, at the time, it's not depressing. It's just beautiful is the only word I have to describe this album. And I'm a big Swallow the Sun fans. So for me, it's just logic to pick this album. Like I said, I'm a diehard Iron Maiden, but the album didn't give me the goosebump like Swallow the Sun did. And I saw them last week in Montreal, and wow, they just delivered. It was perfect. Hearing those songs live, just, you know, they gave life to their music. So since the show, the album, for me, I know, it's just magic. I love it a lot.
I love that.
Swallow the Sun, Moonflowers.
Amazing, amazing. My number one, I have to preface this with, it's not because I'm on the album. It's because I actually really, really like it. And I don't actually listen to the track that I'm on because I'm on it. I skip over that. I'm talking about LLNN Unmaker. Came out on Plegic Records September 24th. What a fucking album. They have surpassed themselves. I'm a huge fan of what they've been doing. Hence why it has to be on their album. It's so heavy, slow, rhythmical, chugging, aggressive. Dude, there's Obsidian. It's like the main single, that riff.
The song's number one on the Apple Music. It's Obsidian.
It's just so fucking heavy, rhythmical. His screams, he seems so unhinged. The keys, the atmosphere that they create, unbeatable. I've listened to this countless times. Another Pelagic record, gold. Just love Pelagic Records. And I love that they're bringing very cool bands from Copenhagen to the rest of the world. I can't wait to see LLNN live. Huge love to Christian Vonnison, the rest of the boys from LLNN, and a massive shout out to Chris Kales for shooting my appearance in their video for Desecrator at Turbo House back in the summer. That's it. So I love this LLNN Unmaker. If you guys have not listened to this yet, please do. The album artwork is amazing. All their aesthetic is really cool. They have a dude in the band, I apologize, I don't remember his name right now, that does a lot of their video stuff, and he's really, really talented. He's done videos for Cabal, other bands from Denmark. It's just incredible. We'll wrap this up with albums that we're looking forward to coming, dropping in 2022. I have one right off the top of my head. That's the new Cryptopsy record. No. that would be cool, but we'll see if that happens. I'm imagining, sadly, probably a little bit later. But coming out next year that I think is going to be very exciting is the brand new Hath. Love Hath. I liked them before the pandemic. I've gotten to know the members a lot more closely because of Thirsty Thursdays, where they come and hang out regularly. Huge fan of what they do, and I'm very excited to see what they do with this new record coming out via Willowtip, I believe, in the next few months.
Sick. Hath. Oh, yeah. H-A-T-H. Yes. Yeah, next year, to be honest, I haven't think about that at all. Cat Only Cat.
Please. Yes.
Yeah. There's a new album coming out next year.
Amazing.
But when? I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's a new album on the way. So, honestly, I haven't thought about that at all. What album am I waiting for?
It's my curveball.
Metallica.
It's my curveball to you. Ollie, thank you so much for taking the time hanging out with me yet again, talking about our top albums of the year. I love doing this. I love hanging out with you regularly, which we didn't get to do very much during the pandemic, sadly. But I know that we're still going to be as tight as always and hang out. You're a friend like that, that I know that no matter we're going to hang out, we're going to laugh and drink and come up with crazy ideas. So doing this every year makes me very happy. And I love how different our lists are. there's only one, none of them were the same. So I think that's amazing.
Almost like our Christmas special. it's like a holiday tradition.
Yeah.
Tradition.
I'm going to raise my glass to you. My bottle, you really. Too. I'm going to raise this and say a massive thank you to you. This is amazing. I hope that everyone enjoyed our list. If you didn't like it, let us know. And if you didn't like it, then we also don't care because it's some music and we're allowed to like what the hell we want to like. This is my cheers to you. We're going to keep hanging out for a bit, but not with you guys listening.
Well, Satan, I fuck you.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right today. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, do I ever miss hanging out with Ollie. As we mentioned as we were recording this, we have not seen each other very much this year due to the pandemic, and I miss him. So any reason for me to hang out with him, which I have been doing a lot more so recently because of Brutal Montreal, we've been jamming, getting ready for that, and I'm really appreciating that. I can't wait to hang out with him some more, so I'm just stoked that I had the time to sit down with him to talk about our favorite albums of 2021. 2021 was a mammoth year for metal releases, and I found it super interesting that we didn't repeat any albums on either of our list, and I love that. Ollie, love you. Thank you so much for taking the time hanging with me. It's always, always a blast. Now, if you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You can do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened throughout the past week in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, including all the details for any episodes which I dropped throughout that past week, if I've been a guest on someone else's podcast, any cool information for any projects that I have in the works before I announce them to the public, as well as the updated links to the Thirsty Thursday virtual hangs and the links to the Brutal Awakenings playlist, which is curated by my man Jerry Monk, the metal architect himself, and is available on both Apple Music and Spotify. You will also get to see the album reviews that my album review crew have dropped that week. There's just so much going on in the world of the Box and Hops Metal Podcast. I would hate for you to miss a single thing, so please sign up to the mailing list. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound, Talent Media, and Evergreen Podcasts. I hope you have a great, great weekend. I hope that you're coming to Brutal Montreal tonight. If you're not, I also dropped another episode today where I sat down with Noah Forrest of Beerism and Craig Thorne of the BAOS Podcast, and we went through our top 10 Quebec microbreweries. It's a banger of an episode, so if you're not coming to Brutal Montreal, you can check out that episode because you might have a bit more time than everyone that is coming to the show. I will be back next week with one episode, the final episode of 2021, the Brutal Montreal special episode. I'm stoked for that. But until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hopsheads.
This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant, evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of the Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, "Man, I gotta hear that." Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday.